This is the Truth Hurts program. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. I want to give you fair warning. Today's program will definitely contain coarse language, stuff that children probably shouldn't be listening to, and something that a lot of you will probably laugh at. According to the online service Inverse, a story by Max Levy caught my attention after I woke up the next morning from a red beans and rice with hot spicy smoked sausage for dinner with a cucumber salad and, of course, a Dr. Pepper. All things that you're probably going, God, this guy must be filled with gas today. Max Levy writes in Inverse, "Farts say more about your health than you think. And now scientists are listening. If you have small children, you don't want them to hear this. I suggest you go ahead and wait and listen to this program a little later on." As David Ancal opened video after video of diarrhea this year, it struck him. This is not what he expected to be doing for his PhD. Ancal is a mechanical engineering student at Georgia Tech who researches fluid dynamics. And he is currently working to demystify the acoustics of urination, flatulence, and diarrhea. He and his team are trying to train artificial intelligence to recognize and analyze the sound of each bathroom phenomenon. In fact, research suggests that tracking the flow of your excretions could benefit public health in the long run. So what's new? Mr. Ancal and Maya Gatlin, an aerospace engineer at the Georgia Tech Research Institute, created a mechanical device loaded with pumps and nozzles and tubes intended to recreate the physics and the sounds of human bodily functions. Here's where the chuckles begin, my friends. The name of this device they came up with is the Synthetic Human Acoustic Reproduction Testing Machine. You guessed it. SHART, S-H-A-R-T, is now preparing an AI algorithm to one day pick up on deadly diseases like cholera and stop an outbreak of cholera in its tracks, according to the presentation given last week at the American Physical Society's annual Fluid Dynamics Conference. The results have not yet been published in a peer-reviewed journal, but here's the background. Diarrheal diseases like cholera supposedly kill 500,000 children every year around the globe, making it the third leading cause of child mortality worldwide. Gatlin said, "There's an outbreak and resurgence in Haiti as we speak. Ramping up the detection of diseases would bolster treatment and prevent outbreaks," she claims. The goal is to combine the machine learning model with inexpensive sensors and deploy them in regions susceptible to outbreaks of such diarrheal diseases. Gatlin explains, "And as we classify those events, we can start to collect the data. It can say, hey, we're seeing an outbreak of lots of diarrhea, because we're hearing lots of splots and splashes and splurges and bloops. Then we can start to diagnose what's going on in a specific area." So here's what they did. You see, until recently, Ancal wasn't thinking much about diarrhea. He said our initial focus for the first year was really on flatulence, you know, farting, and the sound of urination. He and his colleagues were trying to relate the sound of human farts to the internal geometry of a rectum. Abnormal changes could mean cancer. He says, after discussing with gastroenterologists, we thought it would be a good way to try for a non-invasive method. But the project soon expanded. That's when Ancal teamed up with researchers at the GTRI and met Ms. Gatlin, who were figuring out ways to passively detect outbreaks of cholera and other gastrointestinal diseases. Perhaps, they wondered, next generation toilets could do more than just collect poo and pee. They could actually alert communities of an outbreak. What they failed to realize, of course, and this is an aside from your host, most of those third world countries don't have modern day toilets. They crap in holes in the ground or in buckets, and they carry those buckets down to the river and they dump the fecal matter and the urine right on into the streams. And they wonder why cholera outbreaks occur? Here's where the acoustics come in, according to this article. Sound is easier to analyze remotely than video or self-reporting, they claim, and it's less invasive or cumbersome than a physical, hands-on, finger-wave-style medical examination. The sounds of our outputs, urination, flatulence, diarrhea, and solid defecation are distinct, they claim. Well, ain't that some shit? The team realized that an inexpensive device like a microphone and an artificial intelligence algorithm could organize toilet information. They began by sorting through publicly available audio and video of excretions, capturing the frequency spectrum from each, and then they fed it into machine learning algorithms in the artificial intelligence environment. The AI then learned from all that poo the data that it needed until it was primed for the SHART machine testing. That SHART machine is a couple of feet wide and has loads of nozzles and attachments. The team pumps water through the machine and then records the sounds. They learn the physics behind the sound of each excretion, like from a brown slammer to a little tubular peanut butter style crap. And the device will then simulate the same dynamics, tinkering with different attachments from each subsystem. Gatlin says, a lot of thought went into each of these sounds, and each was a subsystem for each sound on this little machine. It actually performs well, she continues. Their algorithm identified the correct excretion event 98% of the time, according to early data. The team is also exploring the fundamental physics at play. In the conference presentation, OnCall described how the team modeled the sound of male urination, streams turning into droplets that splash in succession. If the geometry of the urethra changes, so does the stream and the sound. Newsflash, Mr. OnCall. After 6 Dr. Peppers, I can promise you my urination sounds a whole lot different than it does maybe the third pee of the day. OnCall is working with urologists to use the same machine learning AI approach to detect irregular changes in urination and flatulence based on his idea. OnCall says, self-reporting is not very reliable. We're trying to find a non-invasive way where people can get a notification on whether or not they need to get checked out. Like, hey, your urine is not flowing at the rate that it should. Your farts are not sounding the way they should. You should get it checked. They propose changes in the tract from cancer to other condition might manifest in these sounds. Jared Barber is an applied mathematician from Indiana University who chaired a session but isn't directly involved in the research. He says it's reasonable to assume that you can detect it with a microphone. He says OnCall has also worked on a female urination model but had only completed the male model in time for his presentation. Time for another note from your host. The angle of the dangle must be proportionate to the mass of the ass for the heat of the meat to be registered. That's applied physics, folks. So what's next? The researchers are looking to expand testing and eventually build a deployable device which could include a tiny Raspberry Pi computer. That's Raspberry Pi computer. Gatlin envisions pairing this project with ongoing suitable and sustainable toilet projects. Barber notes that the work is preliminary, but he's encouraged by it. He says it seems like it could have a very large impact. It all seems feasible or fecable. They're using techniques that can deliver, hopefully, capability improvements for diagnosis. It's still early, but the team is designing with the end product in mind. OnCall says, we're not trying to come up with $1 million equipment piece. We're trying to make this something that can be afforded by just about anyone, particularly since the project is focused on urban areas with weak health systems. The affordability aspect is very important for us. Ain't that some shit, y'all? This here is the Truth Hurts program. Told you it was going to be a crappy discussion. We'll be right back. Oftentimes on the Truth Hurts program, I speak to you about the Democratic Party's hypocrisy, the lies of the left, the double standard. House Democrats have just picked a successor for naughty, nasty, Nazi Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker Emerita, who has decided to give up the gavel at the end of this term. Their choice? Blaffrican American, 13% hyphenated minority Democrat, Hakeem Jeffries, a New York progressive. Boy, they are really going off the deep end with this clown. On the surface, Democrats say the choice makes sense. After all, they need to pander to the 13% hyphenated American minority. They have to have the first black this, or the first black that, or the blackest of the blackest of the black. Otherwise, y'all AB's doing enough for us in the community. You heard? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? In one key way, going with Hakeem Jeffries makes hypocrites out of the Democratic establishment. Why? Because the same Democrats who went after Donald Trump because he claimed that the 2020 election was stolen from him, that it was not legitimate, that gropey, mopey, dopey Joe Biden is not the president. Well, Republicans are not the party of election deniers that the Democrats are trying to make them out to be. Here's a few examples of the rhetoric involved. Pelosi herself has said, quote, Republicans continue their attacks on our democracy. Meanwhile, House Democrats will always defend democracy. Yet House Democrats and their new leader, Hakeem Jeffries, he has his own long record of election denials. Jeffries repeatedly and continuously denied the results of the 2016 presidential election. He spread conspiracy theories that it was illegitimate and that it was stolen, and that Hillary Rotten Clinton should have been the president, and that Donald Trump was not a legitimate president. Oh, you think I'm kidding? You think I'm making this up? Jeffries tweeted in 2018 regarding Trump's election to the White House, quote, the more we learn about 2016 election, the more illegitimate it becomes. America deserves to know whether we have a fake president in the Oval Office. Hashtag Russian interference. Unquote. Of course, that Russian interference has been proven time and time and time again to have been false. There was no Russian collusion with Donald Trump. But Steve Z, how can you say that with just one example? It's real simple. There's way more than one example. Hakeem Jeffries reiterated his election denials in 2020, telling Donald Trump directly, quote, history will never accept you as a legitimate president. He's claimed elsewhere without evidence that Trump cheated in 2016. Of course, Trump didn't cheat. Trump was a legitimate president. There was no Russian collusion, and all of this has been proven. We know for a fact that the 2016 presidential election of Donald Trump was not stolen. Neither was the widespread fraud that the Democrats and Hillary Rotten Clinton herself were espousing, and people like Hakeem Jeffries going, yeah, yeah, and nodding their head and shaking their little fists. Every criticism the Democrats have made about the dangers of election denial applies to the very man they just selected to be their new leader. This is the height of hypocrisy. It betrays the sad reality that many establishment Democrats do not actually care about democracy any more than the election-denying Republicans that they decry. The truth is, they think that hand-wringing about democracy is, in this moment, their best path to political victory and more power. How else can you explain their willingness to turn a blind eye to the exact same behavior from Hakeem Jeffries? Don't forget, the campaign arm of the House Democrats funded the campaigns of election denier Republicans because they thought it would be easier to beat them in a general election. The cynical gambit also revealed its own rhetoric about defending democracy for the fraud that it truly is. And that, my friends, is a shame. Honoring the results of fair elections and the peaceful transfer of power are both core elements of our constitutional order that keep the United States of America a free nation. We should support leaders who protect those principles. We should punish those who betray those principles. Just don't make the mistake of thinking that establishment Democrat politicians actually give one shit about democracy any more than those few election denier Republicans actually do. Thank you to Brad Palumbo, co-founder of BasedPolitics.com and a co-host of the Based Politics podcast. He's also a contributor to the Washington Examiner. And this, my friends, is the Truth Hurts program. Bank of America is signaling big, big trouble in Joe Biden's economy. The latest jobs report shows the U.S. labor market is in decent shape, but Bank of America sees trouble ahead. In October, total non-farm payroll employment supposedly rose by 261,000, but that's the seasonal holiday economy. We have rises every year, and they're usually way more than 250,000 people. Bank of America expects non-farm payrolls to be cut in half as far as gains are concerned in the fourth quarter of 2022 and to turn actually negative in 2023. They project in the first quarter of next year, the economy will be losing 175,000 jobs each and every month. They also say it's not just the labor market that's going to take a hit. Bank of America's head of U.S. economics, Michael Gapin, told CNN, quote, "We are looking for a recession to begin in the first half of next year. The premise is a harder landing rather than a softer one." Let's take a look behind this bearishness, shall we? Inflation, unemployment, and the Fed. All Joe Biden's doing, all under Joe Biden's watch, all under his control. The first task has been a challenge, trying to get price stability and aim for maximum employment. Prices have been anything but stable. In June of this year, U.S. Consumer Price Index saw its largest 12-month increase in over 40 years. Thank you, Joe Biden. While the headline Consumer Price Index number has cooled off from its peak, September inflation was 8.2, by the way, year over year. That is extremely, very, very high. Unemployment rate fell to an artificial 3.5%. And the Fed continues to raise interest rates much, much higher than any point during Donald Trump's presidency. Stocks, although in the last couple of days have made some gains, they say the worst thing to hold is the S&P 500 wholesale. Economists are expecting a major pop in the superheated stock market, and this will happen on Joe Biden's watch. I'm telling you, folks, this kind of stuff that's going on, the Democrats are trying to blame everyone but themselves, everyone but their president, but it's their doing. If you like comedy and entertainment, you'll love watching CNBC. One of their hosts, Joe Kernan, was pressing Special Presidential Coordinator Amos Hochstein on Wednesday about gropey Joe Biden's claims that there would be, quote, no more drilling, unquote, for oil in the U.S., and what the president might have meant by those comments. It was 10 days ago the president again said, President Biden, that is, maybe you tried to talk him out of it, I don't know. I don't know what you do when he says it, but when he says it, we're going to end drilling domestically. That causes the major oil producers to not want to invest long-term, Kernan said. You say we like them, we want them to produce. Give me a number on how long. How long do you want them to do it? 5 more years? 10 more years? How long will we need these major oil producers to keep drilling? What does Biden mean we're going to end drilling? When? Hochstein said eventually the country would be phasing out the use of oil. And then Kernan pressed him on what he meant by eventually. He said, so we understand the economy in the United States and around the world is going to be using oil for several more years as we transition and look at our own goals. Our goal is to have 50% of new car sales by 2030 to be electric vehicles. That tells you that how much longer we still see oil in the market, and that's just 50% of new car sales. By 2035, we're probably going to go, even if we go to 100% of new car sales being electric, you still have an entire fleet of gasoline-powered vehicles out there. You know, we make other things from oil as well, Hochstein said. Kernan asked about Chevron expanding their oil operations in Venezuela moments after the president eased sanctions. My question is, how much stock does Joe Biden have in Chevron? Kernan then said he doesn't invite Elon Musk when President Biden, when he's talking about electric vehicles, he doesn't invite the major oil companies domestically to come to the White House to talk about increasing production. Instead, we go to Venezuela. These are things the critics say don't make any sense. Hochstein said Chevron licensing was an effort to kickstart the political process in Mexico City. The license to Venezuela is very small, they claim. Production is tiny. The amount of oil that will come to the U.S. is not at all that significant. With some help, it will help some, but not all that significant. Outside of taxes and royalties, the profits are not actually going to go into the hands of the Maduro regime. Yeah, right. It's going to pay against the debt to the U.S. companies. This is not going to Venezuela for oil. My God, they're just straight up lying, aren't they? Straight up lying. If I were an investor, would not invest another dime in United States oil companies, knowing full well that Joe Biden has repeatedly, time and time again, said he is going to end fossil fuels, stop drilling for oil and natural gas in the United States, shut down big oil. Why in the hell would these companies want to spend one more dime here? Shut it down. Cripple the country. Stop producing oil. Stop producing plastics. Stop producing natural gas. Shut it off tomorrow. Exxon, Chevron, Texaco, BP, Shell. I wish every single oil company tomorrow would shut off their supply. Yes, it will hurt me. Yes, it will hurt you. But as they shut off the valve and turn it off completely, those oil companies need to say, hello, America. This is what Joe Biden and the Democrats want for you. When you cannot fill up your car, you cannot fill up your truck, you cannot buy anything made of plastic because we have shut off oil and gas, because that's what Biden wants us to do. When that spigot is closed off, even for one day, Americans might, I doubt it, but they might just wake up and realize we are dependent on oil and natural gas. It is not possible to shut it off without major economic disaster nationwide. I am calling on the CEOs of Exxon, Texaco, Shell, BP, Chevron, and every other one, all the other ones, I don't know the names of them all, Valero, whomever. Shut off the spigots for 1 week. Just shut it off for 1 week. When the lines go to the gas stations and they're 5, 10, 15 miles long, and you start seeing yellow bags over the hoses on the gas pumps of America at every single station. When you start seeing people in Mad Max style shooting, stabbing, robbing, the upheaval that will be caused by Joe Biden's call to shut down fossil fuels in America will be felt by everyone. Republicans, Democrats, independents, progressives, uber conservatives, wacky nut job environmentalists. Because when the shutoff occurs, panic will set in. Violence, riots, and murder will occur, and it will all be upon the feeble shoulders of Joseph Robinette Biden, the groper in chief, the hair-sniffing pedophile. His own son calls him Pedo Pete, Pedophile Pete. When your own son, who you have bailed out for years and years from your cocaine addiction, your alcohol addiction, and all of your other woes, when your own son calls you Pedo Pete, there must be some truth to the rumor. We've seen the videos time and time again of old gropey Joe Biden sniffing little girls' hair and rubbing his hand over their nipples on their clothing. He must really, really be a sick, twisted pervert to do that on camera. Imagine what he does when there are no cameras watching. Instead of getting serious about flipping the switch for more energy production here in the U.S., which would certainly help lower energy costs, would certainly reduce emissions, would certainly spur economic growth, the Biden administration continues to give our global energy leadership to corrupt regimes. Kathy McMorris Rogers is a U.S. House of Representatives member. She said that quote to the Fox News Channel, and she is 100% correct, my friends. And this is the Truth Hurts program. And let's talk about Joy Behar. I hate talking about that ugly witch, but she had to apologize on The View after she lied, falsely implying that the Supreme Court justice belonged to a hate group. In a recent installment of The View, it got off to a remorseful start this week as Joy Behar, the old hag, issued a crucial correction at the top of the Tuesday, November 29th episode because she had to apologize for falsely claiming that People of Praise, a Christian group affiliated with Amy Coney Barrett, is somehow a hate group. The 80-year-old never been funny in her career comic, who now has a place on The View, which just goes to show you that's all she is a comic with really just no talent at all. She says, "I have to clarify something I said yesterday. I want to correct something I said on air when I stated the People of Praise had been deemed a hate group. I got them mixed up with another group. I was inaccurate. I have to say, you know, sorry about that." Yeah, that's a real heartfelt apology, you hag. She says she didn't think it was right to leave the issue unaddressed. Her clarification came as calls continue to mount for Ms. Barrett to recuse herself from an upcoming case pertaining to the alphabet soup discrimination laws, the LGBTQIARSTUV discrimination laws. As a topic, The View's panel of hosts were discussing that issue on Monday's episode. The case in question pertains to a Colorado-based website developer who claims the state's anti-discrimination laws violate her right to free speech, mandating her to create messages that go against her deeply held beliefs, and that she is legally barred from turning away queer couples looking to use her services. As a private business, she should have the right to refuse service to anyone, right? Alongside reportedly expelling and ostracizing the gay members, supposedly People of Praise, the Christian group Barrett is very loosely affiliated with, allegedly believes sex should be reserved for married straight couples. That's right. That's what the Christian faith, the faith that founded the United States of America, holds as its core tenet. As such, several former People of Praise members have called on the Christian conservative justice to step back in presiding over this case, claiming that she would be too biased to make a ruling due to her lifelong and continued association with the group, a notion that Behar broached while discussing the topic on the crappy show The View. Behar said, before incorrectly claiming that People of Praise was a hate group, as defined by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which they were never defined as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Behar said, quote, "Now here's my question. She is, you know, a religious person. They believe that sex should only occur within marriage and, of course, between a man and a woman. They've got very specific things that they believe." Well, Ms. Behar, you believe sex should occur between anyone at any time and any place. I guess you're all for animal sex, like doing goats and four-year-old kids, right? Two little young boys should be able to pack each other in the elementary school lounge, right? Two little girls should be able to play scissors games on the playground, right? Grown men should be able to screw young children. Hell, you support the pedophile Joe Biden in everything he says and everything he does. We can't bash you for your opinion, Joy Behar. Screw you. All right, folks, I've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. I told you it was going to be a rough one. Go out there and make it a terrific Thursday, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye for now. This program is protected free speech under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. I do apologize if you are offended, but I retract nothing because I speak the truth, no matter even if the truth hurts. Program is copyright 2022, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. If you like what you hear, tell a friend. If you don't like what you hear, who cares? Go find something else to listen to, like the Snowflake Channel. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. This program was pre-recorded.